much to my heart. Let me see if I can set that there. Okay. I'm an addict. My name is Rick. When I was asked to share on this topic, I had no idea that I would be standing in Montreal again, because when I went to go to California about 15 months ago, situations changed in my life and where I was living. And about a few months ago, something has happened with my dad, and he was in and out of a nursing home and a hospital and everything, and I had to come back east. But I guess God did the plan. He made the results happen just the way they were supposed to, because I got to go to two conventions in both areas where I got clean. You see a lot of people that whose lives I had touched and they had touched mine. You know, and it's nice to see that a lot of them are still here, because so many of us die from this disease. And it's an honor and a privilege to be standing here in Montreal, because it was in Montreal when I finally stopped running for myself that I picked up that newcomer key tag, and I felt that attraction that I truly wanted. I wanted to begin a new way of life, and I didn't know how, but I guess it started with me reaching out and asking for some help, realizing that I had a problem and I needed some help. And that attraction that they talk about in Narcotics Anonymous, I found it in Montreal. And I thought this was the only place that I could find it. You know, because I thought you had a little lock on the situation. You know, and I said, because in Plattsburgh, New York, there wasn't a lot of recovering addicts or people that I considered addicts. You know, I considered people addicts that were in the cities and lived the way that I did and things that I did. But that was my own problem. That was my own attitude. And I needed to learn how to change that. I spent about 30 years of my life chasing the feeling and hiding other ones. You know, I picked up at the age of 10, and I put the last drug down at 41. And I didn't know how to do anything else except run from me and run from you, and in the end I was alone. I found out at the age of 10 that I was unable to do things that other children did because I had a visual handicap. I'm blind in my right eye and 90% blind in my left eye. And I felt that I couldn't fit in anywhere because I didn't have something to offer as an individual. I was ashamed. I was angry. I was lonely. And I didn't know what to do. And when I put a substance into my body, all those feelings went away. And I found something that I could believe in. I chose a lifestyle that I was willing to die for. Took me on a journey through jails, institutions, and fortunately not my death, but it took the death of a very good friend of mine for me to realize that I didn't want to die. He had 5 years clean. He stopped going to meetings. He started hanging around me. I was the attraction, not what he had found at Narcotics Anonymous. And pretty soon he was doing what I was doing, and we were buddies in the bathroom. And September 1st, 1993, I found him on the bathroom floor dead. I worked on him for 2.5 hours. I gave him CPR and mouth-to-mouth resuscitation because I didn't want him to die. And I got him revived, and he went outside and died in his car. I didn't know how to feel, but I knew I didn't want to die, and I had to reach inside myself and find the honesty and the humility necessary to ask the God of my understanding, who I never even believed in, for a favor. I wanted the gift of life. I didn't want to die. I was afraid. I was alone, and I didn't know what to do, and I didn't know where to go. And I had a very good friend of mine who said we would get clean in a few months. You know, I had to wait until he was ready. You know, because I had too much pride to put myself in a treatment facility or do anything that would help me. I didn't know how to ask for help. I didn't know how to do a lot of things but use. So around June 7th, I ended up in Plattsburgh, New York. I laid in bed and I kicked my habit, and I got introduced to recovery through another fellowship. You know, and recovery was a process because I slowly let go of those things that I'd treasured all my life. For 88 days clean, I was just happy not sticking a needle in my arm. I was still using other substances, but I was happy not to do that. You know, and I was going to meetings, and I had to find something in these meetings that I needed to replace with the things that I'd treasured all my life, and those are the substances and the lifestyle that I chose. And at about 88 days, I had this chip on my shoulder thinking I had all the answers. And I ended up back where I shouldn't have been, with a needle in my arm. And I got a little more desperate. I came back and I took a suggestion. I got a sponsor. And I didn't know what a sponsor was or what a sponsor was supposed to do. But I got one. And I got a phone number. It took me 5 weeks before I picked up the phone, but I was so desperate I needed to talk to somebody. I didn't know how to talk to anybody. And I picked up the phone and I asked him, I said, "How are you?" And he said, "How are you?" You know, and that fear of being rejected or being hung up on, you know, it didn't happen. Somebody else needed to talk to me as much as I needed to talk to them. We became friends. You know, I picked up the phone on a regular basis and I talked to him on a daily basis. I went to meetings on a regular basis. That's what I learned in the other fellowship, the importance of going to meetings on a regular basis, to keep in contact with the lifestyle that I wanted more than the lifestyle that I'd come from. And after about 6 or 7 months of going through this other fellowship, I came to Montreal because a friend of mine was speaking at a meeting that's no longer here now. Get to the point, it was their 7th anniversary. And I seen about 75 or 80 people celebrating life, and they were laughing, and they were happy and smiling, you know, and that was the attraction. It was as simple as that. I wanted to be able to laugh and to feel something that other human beings felt, because I didn't know how to do any of that. And I hold that in my heart, because that's the one thing that I found in Montreal that I wanted. You know, I wanted to be a human being, and I found it in Narcotics Anonymous. I went to my first convention in May in Hyannis, and I still had this problem inside of me as far as my eyesight goes. But when I went there, I was feeling unique and alone, and I seen about 30 other people that were deaf. And the entire convention was being interpreted to them by sign language. You know, and I had to look at myself and realize what my problem was me. It was my own attitude, my own behavior. And I needed to change that. I just didn't know how. After another few months, I ended up relapsing. And I ended up running back to the places that I felt comfortable in. That was in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. And I was in Albany, New York, and I was watching a friend's apartment. And about 5 o'clock in the morning, it was a hot summer day, and I'd slept naked, and I got up, and I spilled something on the floor. So I went outside to open the, to get the mop and mop it up, and the wind blew the door shut. And I'm standing out in the hallway, bare-ass, with no clothes on, and I'm looking up at God, and I'm saying, "Where can I go? No, I don't have any clothes on. Well, I don't have a quarter to call anybody." I didn't know what to do. I was just standing there, and I'm thinking, "Well, God, I wanted you to remove these defects of character, you know." I guess in a way he did, because he took the clothes off in the games that I played, and he showed me. You know, and I looked around, and I found a pink bath mat. So I got this rug wrapped around me, and my friend lived about a half a block up the street. So I go walking up the street about 5 o'clock in the morning with this rug on, and I ring his doorbell, and there's no answer. I ring it again, there's no answer. Well, I'm a little angry, and I walk back, and I'm sitting in the lobby with my legs crossed, and here comes this young black boy with his boom box and about 5:30 in the morning. He looks at me and he says, "What the hell are you doing in the lobby with a rug on?" Because the mental hospital was right up the street. You know? So I proceeded to tell him, and he said, "Well, you can't be doing that, come on, here." So he takes me upstairs, and he gives me these shorts that'll probably fit two of us side by side, and he gives me a hospital shirt that came from the hospital. You know, and my heart filled with so much gratitude. I was so happy that the simple fact that this person had taken the time to offer me something. You know, I couldn't put a price on that feeling. I just wanted to go running around the city and say, "Look at me, I've got clothes on." It wasn't about how I looked or the way I was dressed. It was just the fact that one person had helped me. you know, and I didn't look at the color of his skin, or I didn't care, you know. Somebody had reached out and touched my heart and didn't expect anything in return. And with that feeling, I kept running for myself, and I ended up in Montreal at a convention. I had one phone number, and I called this person up. And I said, I'd like to come to the convention for a day. He says, well, come up for the weekend. We have a room. So I came to the convention, and I stayed for a month and a half. You know, I took a newcomer key tag, I picked up a pen, and I wrote my first step. I finally got a sponsor. Somebody had said something, and I said, I want what you have. You know? It was here that I began to find the new way of life. I realized I didn't have to run from me anymore. I didn't have to run from you. I didn't have to feel ashamed or feel guilty. I could be myself. Today's meditation talked about being ourselves. And that's all I wanted to do all my life was just be me. And I didn't know how to do it. I thought I had to buy your friendship or manipulate it or control it or do something. I just didn't know how to do it. And I was so tired and desperate that situations happened, and I just went for it, and I was just happy to be here. I continued to come to Montreal, and I got involved in service work. I started a meeting in Plattsburgh, New York, which in January will be 4 years old. It is, they didn't have a step meeting, and I figured everybody was talking about the answer was in the steps. The answer was in the steps. I said, well, how are you supposed to learn about the steps if you don't have a step meeting? So they said, well, you can start one. So I started learning. I was a GSR and treasurer and secretary and coffee maker and greeter. And I kept explaining to people what a home group was and how important it was to build that relationship with another human being and to make that meeting become a group and watch it grow and flourish and build that attraction so somebody else can come and want to be part of that, you know? And I did just that. About 10 or 11 months after doing that, other people joined and that meeting became a group. And I got to move up the ladder and become a GSI. And I got to learn about the traditions. And I got to learn about service work. I mean, I had found a lifestyle where I could fit in. And I didn't have to have any expectations of you, and you didn't have to have any of me. I learned how to become a responsible person in my life. And that's a big change. You know, for somebody to say, here, you can do this. You know, and to have that faith inside of me. And for me to give me that faith was a big change inside of me. About 2 years clean, I'd already done my first three steps, and I was afraid to do that fourth step. And God knows I love to procrastinate. And I said, you know, I was still shoplifting. I was still thinking I had a license to steal. But I got caught once in Montreal, and I got caught once in Plattsburgh. And I didn't like the feelings of shame and guilt. And I had to make a decision. Did I want what this program had to offer, which was recovery from what I was? Or did I just want to stay the way that I was? And I was just doing that 1, 2, 3 shuffle and not changing anything, not changing me. But I picked up the 4-step guide. And I didn't have that fear anymore. I had something that they talked about in step 3. I had some faith. I don't know where it came from or how it came, but maybe it just came and it was there. And I honestly looked at myself and I did that 4-step. When I did my 5th step with my sponsor, I found out that I was a human being. That it was okay to make mistakes. And that using was only going to stop this miracle that had been started inside of me. It's taken me 3.5 years to get to step 7, to find the humility necessary. But I've had the opportunity to look at a lot of my defects. I've had the opportunity to appreciate some of them and realize which ones I want to let go and which ones I want to keep and what I need to work on. Narcotics Anonymous has taught me to live in a solution, not in the problem. And at 2.5 years clean, I made a decision I was going to go to a convention in St. Louis because my living situation has changed. So I made a decision to go to California and live. I went there with hope, nothing else but what I learned in Narcotics Anonymous. I went there with pure hope. I got one number for California when I was at the convention in St. Louis. I went there, and the first thing I did was get a room to stay in, and I went to a meeting. And I had to raise my hand, and I felt like a newcomer, because everybody that I had learned to love and support and that was in my life was 3,000 miles away, and it was just God and me. But I had that dream in my heart, And God knew what was in my heart because I'd finally gotten out of my head and let my heart be my guide. He had shown me that I could do this if I wanted to. All I had to do was do it a little simple way, like one day at a time, and reaching out and doing the same things that I did here. Building a support network and getting phone numbers and getting involved and realizing that the attraction that I wanted was wherever I could find it. And today I've moved again, but I'm still in Southern California. I do a lot of service work, a lot of H&I work. Because my first introduction to Narcotics Anonymous happened to be through a friend of mine on H&I. I wasn't on the receiving end, but in a way I was. But the attraction was the word narcotics. You know, that was it, that simple word, narcotics. You know, if it had anything to do with narcotics or drugs, I mean, I wanted to be a part of that. You know, I thought he'd find a new way to get high, and he did, through the 12 steps. I just wasn't able to realize it at that particular time in my life. But today, I live in Southern California, and those dreams that I have in my heart, they continue to come true, you know, because as long as I'm able to do the footwork, as long as I'm able to believe in this program, God lets the results happen for me. God lets those dreams come true for me. You know, it's not about how I'm dressed or the way I look or the way I sound. It's about how honest I can be with you. You know, because when I did my fourth and my fifth step, I got rid of a lot of shame and a lot of guilt that I had carried for many years. And they talked about freedom, and I never believed until I actually felt it. And that knot inside my gut started to untie, and I felt that little piece of freedom, and I wanted more of it. Freedom was the drug of choice now. I wanted more of the freedom that Narcotics Anonymous and the 12 steps had to offer me. It has shown me a way to live life and accept things. Maybe I don't have to like them, but I do have to accept them. Maybe the results aren't going to be what I want, but the results will be whatever is supposed to be happening in my life at that particular time. I have faith in a God that I used to run from. I have a support network that stretches from coast to coast and throughout Canada. A lot of friends that I call on a monthly basis because I care about them. You know, there are no expectations. I put a lot of time and a lot of effort in this particular area in Montreal and in the northeastern United States. And today it paid off because when I came back here, all my friends were here. You know, they're giving me the support that I needed, that I truly needed. Because when I got off the plane to deal with my father, the first thing I did is I went to a convention. Because I needed to deal with me before I could deal with him. I needed to talk about what was going on with me as far as my emotions and how afraid I was and how I'd never been a son to a father. You know, I never had a relationship with this man except by the phone when I wanted something. And for the last 2 weeks, I've been there emotionally and sitting there, and I didn't realize how emotionally draining that it was just to go and look at him in a nursing home and realize how hopeless the situation was, and there was nothing I could do about it. We've gotten a couple arguments over money, but I mean, that's just my defects coming out. You know, and as soon as I let that go, things happened in the way that they were supposed to happen. And we left on good terms instead of fighting. I never asked to be a son, and he never asked to be my father, but we have a relationship, and he has one thing that he's given me, and that's that unconditional love. No matter what I've done in my life, he's been there. I'm truly blessed to say that this man wanted me, because I'm not his biological son, I'm his adopted son, but he wanted me more than anything else. And today I'm the only thing he has left in his life. It's truly a new beginning for me to be able to stand there and talk about him and to feel some sympathy and some empathy. You know, I wish him the best and not expect what I'm going to get in the world, because there is no will. All I wanted was somebody to love me. And that's what I found in Narcotics Anonymous, is some love. And today I was able to return it to my father, to my friends, to people I don't even know. And I never hugged my father. I gave him a hug and a kiss before I left. So I guess this topic was chosen for me, because I needed to talk about the way that these beginnings happening in my life. The way that I've found to live my life is through the 12 steps and 12 traditions. It's through trying to live in a solution instead of living in the problem. It's about learning how to ask for help. It's about learning how to find some faith when there's nothing around you but fear. To learn to believe in a God, to follow my instincts, whether the choice is right or wrong, and just believe that whatever I'm doing is the right thing. And to be honest with you, to be honest with myself, so I can go to sleep at night and say that I've done another day as best as I could. And seeing clean is probably the newest beginning for me. I certainly hope if you're new here, that you find that same attraction that I found in Narcotics Anonymous. And I hope you hold it as dear to your heart as I do to mine. Because without Narcotics Anonymous, I wouldn't be able to stand up here. I wouldn't be able to hug anybody. And more importantly, I wouldn't be able to look in the mirror and say that I'm an addict and my name is Rick. Thank you for listening.